Good morning, everyone. Good to be back with you all once again, and greetings to everyone who's listening over to the phone. Let's begin, please, by turning to Romans 1. Romans chapter 1, and I'd like to begin in verse 18. We were here just the other day, so we'll start here once again. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress or hold down the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even in his eternal power and Godhead, or divine nature, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible or perishable man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature, rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. In verse 21, the Apostle Paul describes these people as a people that knew God, yet did not glorify him as God. They were not thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Brethren, we also are in the position to know God. So we need to be careful that we don't fall into the same condemnation. We need to consider how we can glorify God so that we do not succumb to futility. Now, why is it so important that we glorify God? It is important that we glorify God, because if we don't, we will invariably glorify someone or something else. We will seek to glorify what we worship. Have you ever heard of someone trying to worship who or what they despise? If we trust in our own reasoning, we will by nature attempt to turn the glory of God into an image of some sort. That image may be our own likeness, or in the likeness of someone, something, or some concept. It is important that we seek to glorify God so that we don't get too high of an opinion of ourselves. Human nature is so easily puffed up on itself and its own ideas and ideals. Our carnal reasoning tries to promote worshiping whatever looks good, ourselves, our own ideas, our own abilities. We seem naturally inclined to worship ourselves, and again, what we worship we will also seek to glorify. The Apostle Paul writes that no flesh will glory in God's presence. Instead, we are to glory in the Lord, in the fact that we can understand and turn from dead works to serve the living God because of what he does. If we are not seeking to glorify God, we stand a good chance of succumbing to idolatry, deceiving ourselves. As we see from the lessons of the Bible, idolatry leads to judgment. Please turn with me now to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. In the context of Psalm 50 is God judging his people. The heading in your Bible may read, God's righteous judgment, or judgment on hypocrisy. Psalm 50 portrays God gathering his people together, those who have made a covenant with him by sacrifice. God implores his people to listen to him as he is our God. His instruction is that we listen to him and walk in his ways, so he will be our God and we his people. As we are to be God's people, we are to give thanks to him for all that he does for us. Being able to do this requires thoughtful consideration and appreciation for what God does on our behalf. So in Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15 read, offer to God thanksgiving, and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Offering praise stems from a total, thankful, and humble appreciation in realization for everything God says and does. We do not earn deliverance through rituals. We are in a relationship with God, and our vow or obligation is to walk with Him, believing and trusting to the saving of our soul. In order to praise God, we must be conducting ourselves properly according to all that He instructs. This especially includes how we treat others. If we are deceiving ourselves that we are walking with God while mistreating our brethren, we are in danger of God's judgment. Paul echoes this in Romans 2, where he indicates if we are judging others, also known as pointing the finger, we become just as guilty of disobeying God. In this circumstance, God asks in Psalm 50, and you can read the rest of the chapter. I don't have time to go through the entire chapter of Psalm 50, but I encourage everyone to read through that. It's very intriguing. God asks in Psalm 50 why we even bother to mention His instructions and His words if we completely disregard or misapply them. The tragedy is that this behavior will lead to mistreating others, including speaking slander against our own brethren. This behavior is actually walking contrary to God, who instructs us to love our fellow man as ourselves. God indicates that the deception lies in thinking that He is actually like us while we do these things. We ought to instead focus on becoming like Him. This means we are to conduct ourselves according to His instruction. Let's pick up, please, in verse 23, Psalm 50 and verse 23. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. We cannot truly praise God if we are disregarding His instruction. Just as a child does not honor his parents by giving lip service while being disobedient. If we know God, it is because He has opened to us a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. If we are thankful, we will take care of that relationship and seek to understand what we've been given. Thereby, we give praise to God for all that He does. In 1 Peter 2:9, we read that as a chosen generation and a royal priesthood, we are to proclaim the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We read in Psalm 22 that God inhabits the praises of Israel. That word for inhabits or enthroned, as some translations may render it, means to abide. We are to abide in Him, and He abides in us. God dwells in and with His people who glorify Him by offering praise, which must be backed by their obedience. This relationship will then bear good fruit as God's people grow in His character. Obedience leads to bearing fruit. As we yield ourselves to God, we will keep His commandments to love Him and our neighbor. If we keep His commandments, we abide in Him, and He abides in us. We're told in 1 John that we know we abide in Him by the Spirit He gives us. If we truly abide in Christ, we will keep His commandments, and the result will be growth in godly character. We will reflect the nature of God in Christ. We will reflect the nature of God and Christ in everything that we do. This is the fruit of being led by the Spirit of truth. We have been chosen and appointed by Jesus Christ that we should bear fruit and that our fruit should remain. In John 15, Jesus says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." God the Father reveals in John 12 that He has glorified His name and will glorify it again. Elsewhere in the book of John, Jesus Christ indicates that He glorified the Father on the earth by finishing the work the Father gave Him to do. He also says that it was not He who did the work, but the Father who dwelt in Him. Christ adds that we too can do nothing of and by ourselves. How then does bearing fruit glorify God? Please turn with me to John 14. John 14, and let's begin in verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper or comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and will be with you. Down to verse 25, please. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper or Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Jump forward, please, in your Bible to John chapter 16, beginning again in verse 12. John 16, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. From these verses, we see that God's Holy Spirit, the very essence of God himself, is to dwell in us as we are obedient to him. The Holy Spirit of truth, a comforter and helper, is not available to everyone at this time. As noted, the world neither sees nor knows him, but we know him because he has revealed himself to us and dwells in us. Recall what we read at the beginning of Romans 1. The people mentioned there were said to have known God and were without excuse. The world does not know God, not yet. But it's been given to us to know him through Jesus Christ. So we are also without excuse because God's Spirit teaches us all things and helps us to remember what he says to us in his word. The Holy Spirit guides us in all truth, and everything we are instructed points back towards glorifying the Father because it originates from him. If we believe, our conduct will reflect the nature of God. The works that Christ did will also be in us because it is his Spirit that dwells in us, and God will do the works in us just as he did the works in Jesus Christ. We too will be able to say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father, because it is he that dwells in us, and we will be known by our fruits. It is this Holy Spirit of truth that is to guide us, which originates from God. God is the source of all truth, and his Spirit will glorify him because it comes from him. It takes God's Spirit emanating from God to glorify him, a river of living water that nourishes, cherishes, directs, and heals. As we yield ourselves, our will, our desires to God, he begins to work with us and in us. He leads us through different experiences that teach us and refine us. Our job is to believe, and our belief will affect our response. We are to believe and do the work we are given to do, which is the works that Christ himself did. We work to love one another as he loves us. We work to take care of our neighbor, forgiving, empathizing, visiting, helping, and showing outgoing concern. Whatever role we are in, whatever position we find ourselves in, we are to approach all things reflecting the nature of God in Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. As we work, we learn to trust God completely. He then creates opportunities for us to glorify him according to his purpose. We are led by his Spirit to witness as he so chooses that he is God. As we are led by God's Holy Spirit in everything that we do, we set an example for everyone we meet, converted or not. As God works in us and through us, it is his words, his Spirit, his purpose, his glory reflected in us, and his light of truth shining in us. Christ says in Matthew 5 that we are to let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. This will take place as God chooses, whether their minds are open to understand now or at a later point. Our conduct will reflect his nature, because his spirit flows out through us, just as Christ states in John 7, that if any believe in him, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. If God dwells in us, our actions will reflect his presence, his character, and his nature. As we grow in godly character, our Christ-like example will shine forth for others to follow. God will be glorified as God because it is he that is working out his plan and purpose within us. It is important that we glorify God as God in order that we maintain a proper perspective on everything in life. Otherwise, we may very well be walking in idolatry as we seek to glorify whatever else we are worshiping, including ourselves. God is glorified when we offer praise because, as we sincerely appreciate what he does for us, we are obedient to his instructions. Obedience will bring forth fruit, and bearing fruit glorifies God because it is him dwelling in us who does the works. Setting a good example, letting our light shine, is maintaining good works, and God is glorified because his nature is reflected as he guides us by his Spirit. If we are led by his Spirit, then we are his children. Let's conclude in Philippians 1. Philippians chapter 1, I'll read verses 9 through 11. Philippians 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Brethren, it does us well to consider how and why we glorify God, lest we also succumb to futility.